Don't fall apart when people fall away. Don't fall apart when people fall away. Paul said in verse number 2 that he didn't want the recipients of this letter to be soon shaken in mind. He says, I don't want you to be troubled. He said, I don't want you to be troubled by spirit, by word. He said, I don't want even something that I may write unto you to trouble you. He said, the day of Christ is at hand. He said, that day, this day that he's speaking of, will not come except there come a falling away first. And so I realize tonight that the text is dealing with the unveiling of the son of perdition. And it is revealing unto us the nearness of the coming of Christ. But he explains to us that during this time, there is going to be a falling away. Now, I believe tonight that we are the victims of prophecy. I believe without question tonight that this generation, amen, is going to usher in the coming of the Son of God. I believe that tonight. And I believe that it is inevitable, yea, it is a fact from the Bible, that men are going to depart. Men and women are going to fall away. But I'm glad that there is a remnant that is being addressed in this text. Amen. And that is the saint of God that should not allow those that fall away to cause them, amen, to fall apart. Amen. And so I want you to understand tonight that it's very important that when we see the things happening around us, that we do not allow those things to distract us, to disturb us, to keep us from fulfilling the will of God, worshiping the Lord, and walking in accordance with His Word. There's several things in these verses tonight. If you let me outline them for you by way of introduction, and then I'll try to give you the thought that God has dealt with our heart tonight. First of all, there's a deception in these verses. Do you see it? He says in verse number 3, he says, let no man deceive you by any means. So there's deception going on in this period of time. Then there's a day. He says, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And so he's letting us know that there's going to be a deception. And there's a day, a specific period of time, that is represented by the happenings that are surrounding this text. Then there is a departing. Amen. There's going to be those that fall away, those that step out into sin and will not receive the truth of the gospel. And then there's a devil in this verse, the man of sin that's going to be revealed. Are you bothered at all? Are you troubled at all when you see men falling away? Somebody getting out of church, does it trouble you? Does it cause questions to rise up in your thought life, in your mind? Does it disturb you inwardly? I'm talking about when you see people that's been raised in good Christian homes, you see people that have been raised maybe in Christian school, that has been exposed to the truth of God's Word. I mean, they may have had a daddy for a preacher. Maybe a godly mama that loved the Lord, that read the Bible to them when they were little and prayed. Does it bother you? Does it seem to concern you when these kind of people depart from what they've been taught and the things that they have been raised in? I tell you what, it should trouble us inwardly, amen. But I tell you what, I don't want to be troubled to such a degree, amen, that it hinders me from serving the Lord and for doing the will of God in my life. Amen. There's people that I have given my life to. There's people in this building that I've given my entire life to preach the gospel to you and to tell you the truth from the Bible. And I have a desire. I have no greater desire than to see you live for Jesus and walk with God, to sell out, to let the will of God be the preeminent thing in your life, to be faithful to the house of God. Amen. To be faithful to the Word of God, to invest your talents to serve the Lord. I have no greater desire as a pastor than to see you as an individual will fulfill the will of God for your life. Amen. But I've preached for years to people. I've prayed with them. I've crawled in that bus and drove all night while they've slept. And I've taken them Bible quizzing. And I've tried to sacrifice, like many of you adults in the building tonight, have sacrificed for your children to see them succeed spiritually and do the will of God for their life. And yes, it is heartbreaking when you see one get away from the Lord, when you see one, amen, depart from the faith and not serve God and give God their all. But don't fall apart when people fall away tonight. That's the point I'm trying to make. You need to understand that there are going to be those that fall away. I would to God that it would be nobody in this building tonight, but I realize and know that there are going to be people that will not believe the gospel. Now, God did not predetermine that before he created the world, but he did give you a choice. He did, amen, give you a volition, an opportunity to choose whether or not you're going to be saved, to choose whether or not you're going to allow him to be Lord in your life, to choose whether or not you're going to follow the word of God and enjoy a life of peace and purpose and prosperity in the spiritual realm. You have a choice tonight. And I tell you what, there are many that make a choice to go to the world and to serve the flesh and to serve the devil tonight. And that's a fact. And I know it bothers us. I know it hurts us. Amen. When that happens. But there are some things tonight I think it's very important that we point out from these verses tonight. The Lord will help us. I'll give them to you tonight and we'll be dismissed here in just a moment. But I want you to notice, first of all, that there's a learning. There is a lesson being taught here in these verses. There's something that, first of all, I believe we should learn. Here's what he says in verse 2. He says, let no man deceive you by any means. Amen. Now, for that phrase to become a reality in your life, there's something tonight that you're going to have to learn. Deception in the Bible is described in multiple ways in the Word of God. In fact, I think there's about 7 different Greek words used in the Bible to unveil or to describe some facet of this word deception. Here in our text, it means to be deceived wholly or to delude thoroughly. It means that this individual that's falling away is completely deceived. In our language, we'd put it this way. He fell for that tonight. Hook, line, and sinker. That's what we'd say. Amen. I mean, he just went all the way. He just blindly stepped out into sin. He just blindly stepped out into the world. Amen. After he was told to do different. And that's what sin. Amen. That's what deception is all about. And that's how sin can deceive you. And you need to understand. Amen. That there are those that are going to yield their mind. They're going to yield their heart. They're going to yield their members to a lie. To a lie. Are you listening to me? There are people tonight. I wish I didn't have to say this tonight. But there are people in this building tonight that have a good possibility, because of what these verses tell us. Amen. There's a good possibility tonight that there are people in this building that are right now believing a lie. People in this building tonight that right now while I'm preaching are believing things that are false. They're allowing the world and the devil and their own carnal way of thinking to deceive them tonight. Amen. The mindset of this world is twisted and warped. They cannot deal with absolutes. They cannot deal with facts. This world cannot seem to handle truth. I told Brother Thrin this week that I stand amazed that colleges can even have a math department. Because of the way they think. Amen. I don't know how that they can accept facts tonight. Amen. Because nothing is factual in any other subject that they're teaching. There's no absolutes. Amen. What if I stood up here and told you that 2 + 2 = 4? It's impossible for 2 + 2 = 4. You'd say, the preacher has lost his mind. If a college professor stood up and made that statement in the math department, they had run him out of town. They had fired him. But I can prove to you that 2 + 2 with their way of thinking is more than 4. Takes more lead out of a pencil to write 2 + 2 than it does 4. Takes more effort. It takes more time to write 2 + 2 = 4 than it does just to write 4. Takes more time for my sight. Takes more thinking from my brain. Takes more lead or ink from the pen or the pencil. Takes more space on the bulletin board or the blackboard or the eraser board. So 2 + 2 has to be more than 4. Takes more time, takes more effort, takes more space, takes more lead. That's the way they think. That you say, preacher, that's senseless. You tell that crowd it's senseless. Because in every other way, their philosophy is bent on that kind of reasoning. And they cannot deal with absolutes and they cannot deal with facts. And because of that, nobody seems to learn that there is a spirit of deception that is in this world. And if you're not careful, there's some of you, amen, are thinking right now, 2 + 2 = 4. I never thought of it that way. You wait till I get to school tomorrow. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, you have to learn that there is a spirit of deception in this world. Look at 1 John 2 with me. I'm going to read some verses tonight and try to progress. And I need you to stay with me tonight. What I'm preaching about is very important. What are you going to do if somebody in your family falls away? What are you going to do if somebody that you love and care for gets out into sin? Are you going to fall apart if they fall away? You need to understand, what are you going to do when you're tempted to leave, when you're tempted to depart? Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Amen. You got to understand that there is a spirit of deception. Here's what it says in the verses that I just read tonight in your hearing. Let me find it. Verse 7. It says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Paul said, right now, while I'm writing this letter, the spirit of iniquity is working at this present time. John put it this way. I'm going to read several verses, and I need you to listen tonight. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, John says this, love not the world. Now, I need you to listen to every word that I'm reading and follow along closely tonight. What I'm preaching is far more important than anything else going on in your world right now. And the reason I say that tonight is because there is a great falling away. There are those all around the Christian world that are departing from the heritage that they have been taught and they have been shown from the Word of God and preached to. And if you're not careful as a young man, if you're not careful as a young lady, one of your peers may believe this lie. And you care about them. And they look to be having fun. And they're smiling right now, but their smile is not there at night. Their smile is not there when everybody's gone. Is anybody listening to the preacher tonight? And I'm telling you, you better learn that deception is very real, deception is very strong, and you're not above being deceived tonight. You're not above believing a lie. If your heart and your mind is carnal. Notice what it says. Verse 15, 1 John 2. There's some things you need to learn, okay? If you are not going to fall apart when others fall away, there's some things you're going to have to learn. Here's what he says. Love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father but is of the world. And the world passeth away. That's the truth. And the lust thereof. And that's the truth. But he that doeth the will of God will abideth forever. Now that's the truth. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, notice what it says. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Notice what he says along with what these verses revolve around is verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Are you listening to these verses tonight? Go over a few pages to chapter 4. I'm going to read some verses there. 1 John chapter 4. We're told here in these verses that there are some absolute facts laid out for us. And within these verses, we are told that there are people that did not believe these truths, and they went out from us, but they were not of us. That's what it says. Preacher, I wonder if they're saved. Well, I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says tonight. They went out from us, but they were not of us. Are you listening? Notice what he says in verse 1 of chapter 4 of 1 John. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now I'm talking to you tonight about learning. You need to learn something about this subject of deception. There's a lie. You need to learn something about lying. You don't need to learn how to lie. You can already do that. You was born lying. Amen. I was in the hospital just a minute ago, and the baby, I walked in the hospital room, and the baby was just squalling, and I mean, she was as red. I mean, I'm talking about whole face and hands looked like she was going to explode. She is screaming and hollering and carrying on, you know, and yelling. And I mean, I never heard such a hollering in all my life. You'd thought a rattlesnake had got a hold of her. And so I reached over and picked her up and cuddled her up tight and started talking to her, and she hushed just like that. We walked around for a few minutes. I handed her to mama. She started crying again. Amen. And so I'd say, well, maybe she's hungry, belly's hurting or something. She kept on crying. I'd say, hand her to me. I'd pick her up. I'd walk her around, talk to her for a minute. She'd hush just like that. Done about three times. She's lying. That's what she was doing. She was lying. And so you don't have to be taught how to lie, but you need to be taught some things about lying. You need to be taught some things about liars. And that's what the spirit of Antichrist revolves around. That's what this mystery of iniquity that is very present in our world right now is about. Amen. It's the world that'll lie to you. It is the devil that'll lie to you. It is society that'll lie to you. It is your own carnal way of thinking that'll lie to you. And you better learn that, or you will fall apart when you start seeing men fall away. You better learn that tonight. You better learn something tonight about these verses. He tells us here again in this text, he says, let no man deceive you by any means. He said, make sure that you settle the truth of the word of God in your heart. Don't let it go over your head. Let it sink deep in your ears and find a lodging place in your heart tonight. Amen. I told little Chase this morning, I said, read the Bible. Pour that word of God in your mind. Some of you young people have no relationship with the word of God. You have no relationship with the Bible. You memorize your verses for school. You memorize your verses for competition and Bible quizzing. But you have no personal, I'm talking about personal relationship with the Word of God. Some of you moms and dads wonder what is going on in your home, what is going on in your family, and you have no relationship with the Bible. And this book is the foundation of truth. Tonight, this Bible that I hold in my hand, amen, is the very cornerstone that we build our life on when it comes to separating truth from error. And if you do not have a relationship with it, if you don't read it, if you don't appropriate its truths in your life, then you're going to believe the lie. You're going to believe the devil. You're going to believe the flesh. You're going to be deceived.
Amen.
There comes a time when a man can believe a lie so much that he's damned. Do you believe that? He's judged because he can't find any way out. Amen. And so tonight, there's some things you need to learn. You need to learn some things about lying. You need to realize that there is a spirit of deception in this world.
Amen.
And if some of you got off the boat right there because you know that you have no relationship with the Word of God. You have no relationship with the Word of God.
Amen.
And because of that, you're going to believe a lie. The Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist that works in this world as I speak tonight, is going to deceive you.
Amen.
That's why you think the way you think.
Amen.
That's why it wouldn't be hard for me to convince you that 2 + 2 is more than 4.
Yes.
That's why it's not hard for politicians to convince you of things.
Amen.
That's why. Why do you ever wondered why somebody could have such a warped mentality about abortion? How anybody could even think the way that people think concerning abortion.
Amen.
That, you know, it's just a thing until, you know, a certain period of time. That's ridiculous. That's unscriptural. How does somebody think that way? Huh? I told somebody the other day, you may think this is silly, but I even went online and tried to figure out how to email the candidate, amen, that's running on the Republican ticket. And here's what I told Brother Three, and I said, do you know something? I said, all I heard on these debates and all I hear in these speeches is the wealthy being taxed more so that the middle class can have a break. That's all I'm hearing. Is that not what you're hearing? That all sounds good to us middle class folk. But I don't want the richest money.
That's exactly right.
I wish somebody would tell the Democratic Party and somebody would tell the American people that this middle class man does not want somebody else's money.
Amen.
I want to work for my own.
Amen.
If a man's living in a mansion down the hill and got 100 Rolls Royces and he's worked and he's been successful and he's made good decisions, amen, it's not fair, it's not right. In fact, it's wicked for me to covet what he has and expect his success to be handed down to me. I have the same opportunity and the same privileges in America, amen, to succeed and gain as he does, and I don't want any of this money. He shouldn't be treated nor taxed any different than me. That's a lie. Some of you believe it. That's how warped this world is. And that's a lie. That is a lie. In fact, it's worse than a lie. It's being a deadbeat. Amen. Penalize somebody because they've been successful. That's senseless. And I mean, I wish somebody would send an email and tell them, amen, that Pastor Massengale said this, amen. There are still some middle class that have a little character, and they'll just take a job and work and provide their own living, and we're not needing anything from the wealthy or the elite or the rich. Amen. Except a job, maybe building them a house and charging them more than we would somebody that's poor. Amen. Some things you need to learn. You need to learn some things about lying and liars. You need to learn some things about love. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. You need to learn some things about lust. Amen. That there's a lust in life. There's a lust of the flesh. And all that lust is an allurement for you to fulfill a desire that God has given you in an ungodly and an unbiblical way. And you'll never enjoy it. You'll never be fulfilled. You'll never be satisfied. In fact, when you allow lust to run rampant in your heart and mind, and you fulfill that craving and that thirst outside of the boundaries of the Word of God, when it's all over, you'll be miserable. Your mind will be scarred, and you'll have to deal with it, fight with it, and wrestle with it the rest of your life. I've been doing it for about 30 some odd or 40 some odd years now, ever since I've been saved. And I'm telling you tonight, amen, that I wished 1,000 times that there had been some things that I'd have left alone when I was a young teenager and have stayed away from. You better learn something, amen, or you'll fall apart when people fall away. You need to learn something about lying and liars and love and lust and life. Learn something about loyalty. Amen. Being faithful. You need to learn something about that. We have an unction from the Holy One. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Through Christ we can do all things. We are kept by the power of God. Sin does not have to have dominion over you. I said all that this morning. Now I'm going to ask you this question. Do you overcome? Do you have the power to say no and to turn away and go the other direction? Our biggest problem is we've got young people in America that have been raised in Christian homes and been preached the gospel all their life. And they made a profession maybe when they were young, and that's fine. You can get saved when you're young. You can get saved when you're young and live for Jesus. But we've got some that's made professions of faith, and they can't overcome. Fact is, they've never been able to overcome. They allow sin to constantly have dominion in their life. I told Brother Wells or somebody here the other week, they were talking about eternal security. You know, once saved, always saved, everlasting life. And I don't use that term, once saved, always saved, because it's not a Bible term. I use the word eternal life, everlasting life. I've been sealed under the day of redemption. Amen. And I believe that because it's biblical. I just wish some of you didn't. I said, I believe that because it's biblical, but I wish some of you didn't. Because I believe in the eternal security of the believer, but I also believe in the insecurity of the make-believer. And some of you have grabbed a hold of a religion. You've grabbed a hold of a profession just like the Catholics have. Amen. You can't sway them. They'll get drunk. They'll cuss. They'll whore around. They'll live like dogs. And they'll say they're going to heaven because they can go to the priest on Saturday night because they've been raised that way all their life. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to hell. If you can live in sin and not be convicted and chastised and condemned by God, then you're lost. You're without God. You need to be saved tonight. Amen. I'm telling you, in trouble, and you need to learn that tonight. And you that are on the other side, I'm talking about the other side of the grace of God. You've been saved. Thank God you don't have to fall apart when you see them fall away, because you have an unction from the Holy One. That spirit that's within you, that power that's within you, can enable you to overcome, to be strong in the Lord. Amen. And in the power of His might, you have the ability to take on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, you can be faithful, you can be kept, you can serve God, you can walk by faith, you can honor the Lord with your life. You don't have to fall apart when men are falling away. Amen. And so in these verses tonight, we see that there is something you need to learn. Secondly, tonight, we see the last days in these verses. We understand tonight that this departing, this falling away, is a result, or is not a result, this falling away is manifesting to us a period of time that is going to exist before the Lord comes back. And I got a bunch of stuff to say, and I'm about wore out already, amen. But I'm telling you tonight that the last days are revealed unto us when we see men departing from the faith. Now these days are days of expectation for the saints of God. These last days that we read about here in these verses. Do you see them? He tells us this. He says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. And that day is the day of our gathering together unto him that is mentioned in verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken. And so we are. It's unveiling to us this last day, this period of time. Preacher, why did so-and-so do what they did? Why did so-and-so act? Why are they acting the way they're acting? Why they left? They had a good mom and dad. They had a good church. I had men call me and say, you ain't gonna believe this, but I had a man in my church. I've been preaching to him for 20-some years, and he just up and left. Troubling? Oh, yes, it's troubling. But it's also the unveiling of truth. Lets us know the days that we're living in. Amen. So, preacher, I don't accept that, then you're going to be in trouble when men depart. The days that represent the last days are days of expectation to us as the people of God. It's a day of the rapture. We're expecting the trumpet to sound. It's a day of resurrection when the dead in Christ will rise first. Amen. That's an expectation in my soul. It's a day of reunion when I'll be caught up together with them in the clouds. I long for that day. I have loved ones right out here, amen, that I'll one day join hand in hand with when we go to the other side. I have a father. I have a grandmother. I have family. I have church people that I've buried, that I've prayed over, that I've preached to their families, and they've outstripped me and they've gone on to be with the Lord. But one day, thank God, I have the expectation and hope that I will see them again. And that's what these days represent. They represent a day of reunion. They represent a day of relief. Praise God. The hospital visits will be over with, and the tired bodies and the weariness of serving God will come to a close. Thank God, it'll be a day of relief. It'll be a day of rest. Amen. We'll lay our burdens down. What a day that'll be. It'll be a day of righteousness. It'll be in that day that I will see him and be as he is. What a day. Praise God. The troubles will be over with. What a blessing to know that truth. It's the last days. But during this period of time when we have expectation and hope of seeing the Lord, we have to understand that the falling away is going to be manifest. Now, we all want the rapture. Amen? We all want the resurrection. We all want to be reunited with our loved ones. We all want relief and rest. And we all want to be like Him, not have to fight the battle of the flesh any longer. But none of us want to have to experience the reality that men will depart from the faith. And the child of God and his companionship and his relationships will be purged and pruned. Amen. And that, my friend, whether we want to accept it or not, is a reality. It's a day when people are again going to believe a lie. I don't want any of my grandchildren. I tell you what, I prayed for them today, and they're little right now and innocent. But I don't want them to believe a lie. I don't want any of my children or my grandchildren to believe a lie. Do you realize that it seems like yesterday when I was at Allen Bennett Hospital when my daughter was born, it doesn't seem like it's been that long ago that we carried her around in a little bassinet thing or whatever you call it, little cradle. Doesn't seem but just a few days ago that we were sitting at the house, just the three of us, reading the scripture and getting her to memorize Psalms and different verses from the Bible. And now I have five grandchildren. Now that sounds probably a little strange to some of you younger people, but you'll stand where I'm standing one day. It just seems like a moment has flashed. And I surely don't want them to believe a lie. I want them to understand that there's a reality in serving God and a joy of walking with Jesus. So if you're not going to fall apart when people start falling away, you're going to have to learn some things. You're going to have to understand that it's the last days that manifest this truth. Thirdly, you're going to have to understand that this falling away involves losing some things. Losing some things. You ever saw someone fall? Or have you ever been around when someone fell? The first thing that happens to them is they lose footing. They hadn't planned on falling. In fact, they didn't expect it. But something happened that caused them to lose their footing. Basically, when I say that, we're talking about their stability, their foundation. The very thing that was keeping them from falling, they felt secure in. But something happened to cause them to lose their footing. Could have slipped, stepped on a rock, twisted an ankle. Maybe something in the way and they didn't see it and they stumbled over it. Something they wasn't expecting. But they lost their footing. You ever seen that happen? Maybe had it happen to you? I've been walking down out the road before and just stepped on a little pebble the wrong way and my ankle turned out from under me. And before I knew it, I'm on the ground. Just that quick. Lost my footing. People that fall lose their footing. Their foundation is disrupted. People that fall look foolish, don't they? Jump up. If anybody saw me. Nobody seen me. Miss Rebecca fell in a restaurant one time. not only did it make her feel like a fool, made Tootie feel like one too. Get up, Rebecca. Now. That what happens? Everybody gets uncomfortable. Somebody, if somebody was walking down this aisle or coming out of, you ever seen somebody stumble? I've seen them hang their high heel on the thing, you know, and I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, man, I'm going to have to dive and catch somebody. They come down through their falling. I mean, it was embarrassing before we had a camera. People that fall look foolish. They lose their footing. Then they fall. Everything changes. The forward motion is gone. They've lost it. The ability to progress and to fulfill purpose, all of it is at a standstill when people have fell away. When you fall away, you see, you lose things. You need to understand that tonight, young man, young lady. You need to understand tonight when you fall away, you lose things. You need to understand tonight if you're not going to fall apart when people fall away, you need to understand that they're losing things. They've lost their purpose. You know, I've never read anywhere in the Bible where the devil said he'd make anything out of you. Have you? Except a fool. The only promise you have, the only promise that you have tonight of being made made anything out of from the devil. The only promise you have in the Bible tonight that the devil can give you is to be a fool. Nothing else. He'll make a fool out of you. But Jesus said, I'll make you to become fishers of men. Hey, just so many things you could preach tonight on just what Jesus. And this is a direction I was going to go maybe in part two of the message, but probably not going to go that route with this thought. But I'm just telling you, you can just look, you fellas can just look out up the different times Jesus said, follow me, or men follow the Lord, and just look at it in this way. Look at it as when men follow the Lord and when men walk with God, he made something out of them. Done something with them, made some promises to them, and give them some hope and some direction. The devil can't promise you anything. The flesh can't promise. Oh, it can tell you a lot of lies, and you can believe every one of them. But the devil and the flesh and the world can't do anything for you. A man that falls away, he loses. He loses. Are you listening to me tonight? He loses. He loses his footing. Loses his foundation. He's made a fool out of. He falls. Forward motion has stopped. He's at a standstill. He can go no further. Falling away, you see, there's some things we need to know about it. There's some things we need to learn. We need to understand something about the last days. We need to understand that there's a loss. Lastly, we need to know tonight, if we're not going to fall apart when men fall away, and we're not going to fall away and be a victim of the end times, we're going to have to understand that falling away means you leave something. Falling away. Away. So much could be said tonight. I'll just give it to you and we'll be done. Man that falls away leaves God's presence. I can't imagine sitting in a pew and be an eyewitness of what happened Wednesday night and hear the presence of God being real. I can't imagine sitting in this, if everybody else was as dead as 4 o'clock in the morning, and God just putting his hand on one man and touching one man and putting his spirit on one man and being a witness of that and wanting to walk out of this building and think the world, a bottle, a pill bottle, or any other kind of substance could replace or even compare to that spirit and that touch from God. But when a man falls away, he leaves God's presence, Brother Steve. He leaves the presence of God. When a man falls away, he leaves God's precepts, leaves the Bible. He turns his back on the truth. And I could preach all this. But when a man leaves, when a man falls away, he leaves God's place, the place in which God has put his name, the house of God. Now I'm going to tell you something. I pray, and I prayed today. I called names in prayer. I asked God to help some men. And I've asked God to let them get right with you. I said, Lord, I want to see them right with God more than anything else. And it doesn't make any difference where they're at or who is involved in them getting right with God. But I'm going to tell you something. I wished I didn't have to say this. I believe a man can get saved across the world. But when a man sins against the church and brings a shame and reproach against the place that God has put his name, he'll have to make that right with that place. And I believe that's right. He may get under conviction and he may get right with God. But I'm going to tell you what, if he genuinely gets right with God, he's going to start making some phone calls or making a trip and try to get right with some people. And I don't say that tonight because of any sense of control or pride. I'm just telling you that's a reality. Leave God's presence. Leave God's precepts. Leave God's place. Leave godly parents. That's what they leave. We've seen that happen. Leave people that love them, that's provided for them. That's blowed my mind in the last 2.5 years or so. It's blowed my mind that a young man or a young lady could leave a mom and dad that sheltered them, clothed them, and fed them all their life. Most of that time, they had no control over their own survival, but a mom and dad has sacrificed to give them life because of their love and their concern. And they would go and devote loyalty to somebody that's never cared anything about them. You know what that is? Back to point one. So how is that possible, preacher? The spirit of Antichrist. The mystery of iniquity that doth already work. Left godly parents. They leave God, a godly pastor. They leave God's people. They leave God's purpose. They leave falling away. What have you left tonight? What are you going to leave? Where are you at right now? Is your mind drifted? Which direction are you headed tonight? For you that have that unction, for you that are saved by the grace of God, how do you feel tonight about those that's departed? How troubled are you tonight? One thing to be burdened. It's one thing to be broken. I've had people make statements to me. I don't understand why they left. You need to find that out tonight. Chance, you need to know why they left. If you don't, you're going to fall apart. Love not the world. They left because they love the world. I don't understand why they left. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. They love the things of the world. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life. They believed a lie. You need to know why they left. You need to know. Or you'll believe the same lie. You'll fall apart. When men fall away, you need to know. You need to understand. Because see, if you understand, sis, if you understand that tonight, you know whether or not you have what it takes inside to make it. Because there's something inside that bears witness with what I'm saying. That's the truth. Right? That man's preaching the truth. He's telling that song they sung, "Touch My Heart," it touches your heart.
Amen.
Something bears witness in your spirit.
Amen.
A witness in your spirit, Brother Joe, that we are the sons of God.
Amen.
Amen. You need to know. I've had him say, "Well, preacher, I don't understand. How could somebody be raised in that kind of atmosphere and then do what they're doing?" And I've seen on the countenance of some of your faces that's come to me with those questions and said that. And it really concerned me that you didn't know. It really bothered me when some of you young people have come to me that you couldn't understand after me preaching to you as long as I have. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. This spirit of Antichrist is manifested, Brother Danny, right now in this world. And there are people in this building right now that can believe a lie and may be believing one as I speak. 2 + 2 = 4 tonight. No matter how you look at it. But that twisted, warped philosophy that is promoted politically, socially, in our economic structure, has turned this entire world against truth and the Word of God. And I'm not going to be a part of it at all. Amen. Facts. You need to understand that this Bible is a book of facts. Now, you may not be able to explain it, but you can't explain to me how come 2 + 2 = 4 when it takes more lead, more strength, more time, more space on the board to write 2 + 2. But it's still 4. That sounds very elementary and simple, but you'd be amazed how warped this world is when it comes to that kind of thinking. This book is true. And what God says, you can bank on it. And you can believe it. This day cannot come except there be a falling away first. And men are going to fall away. I hope it's not you. I have no intentions of leaving this building and getting away from God. But I can make choices just like you can make choices. I have no intentions. I know this for sure. I have within me the strength and the power to overcome sin, the flesh, and the devil. And it's not of me, it is of God. And you need to know whether that is in your heart and in your life tonight. You need to learn that. Now I'm going to tell you this one more time and I'm finished. The spirit of Antichrist is very real right now. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. And the devil will lie to you. Are you listening to me? And you can even lie to yourself. But you better understand that this book is true. Walk in its precepts.